Welcome to episode 9 of the 1056 Sports Podcast. I'm Trent. I'm here with Justin.
Yep.
And producer Jared.
Yes, sir.
Today's episode, just talking about the NBA Finals. Game 1 was last night, and the Raptors took game 1 with a score of 118-109. What do we think about last night's game? Anything?
I thought it was a little off for the Warriors. They didn't look right
today. It is the first game 1 they've lost in like 18-19 series. They've won game 1 in almost every playoff series in the last like 5 years. Mm. So it's definitely different. So this is uncharted territory for the Warriors.
Curry had 34 points, but he had a very quiet 34 points to me. It's like he wasn't hitting the shots when it mattered.
I don't know. I feel like maybe it was because Curry was shot 14 for 14 from the line. He hit 14 free throws, so maybe that plays into it. I thought Steph played really well for the most part. But if I had to pick a game MVP, if you want to say finals MVP after one game, it's got to be Pascal Siakam. He had 32 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. It's a big game and huge part of why the Raptors are who they are. Kawhi Leonard, obviously, you know, big factor. But Pascal Siakam stepping up this year really helped out the Raptors. It gave Kawhi that second option along with Kyle Lowry, who, you know, is very good for what he does. Good point guard, leads the team. But Pascal becoming a scoring option took the pressure off Kyle Lowry, who doesn't have to try to score. And he kind of came out of nowhere for the most part. Like, no one expected him to be doing this.
I didn't.
Nobody would have been saying, hey, next finals, if the Raptors make it, Pascal Siakam's dropping 32. Yeah. I mean, we expected him to get better, but I don't think anyone expected Pascal Siakam to drop 32, 8, and 5. And, you know, after game one, I mean, if the finals ended tonight, the Raptors won the championship, Pascal Siakam is your MVP. So, well, congratulations. Unfortunately, there's at least 3 more games. So, we'll talk about some other players. We'll go, like I said, to Kawhi Leonard, who had 23, 8, and 5. He kind of started off slow. I mean, he got going toward the end, and he was big late, just his experience. And how much does that experience from his time with San Antonio, even though that didn't end well, play into his Raptors success, or play into the success for the Raptors?
I think it says a lot. Because, I mean, Kawhi never – he was never bad. He just – you know, a lot happened in San Antonio, and he wanted out. I think people forgot how good of a player he really is.
Yeah, definitely people forgot. When you only play 9 games, we kind of forget how good someone is. And, like, that can be for any sport, really, not just basketball. We forget how good someone really is or how bad they are on the other side of things.
Right.
For a team, when someone gets hurt and you miss a full year, I think we all knew Kawhi Leonard was good, but it's kind of like how I always say Damian Lillard is the most underrated superstar. Like, we all know he's great, but we still underrate him. I think everybody knew Kawhi Leonard is a phenomenal player, but I think we forgot how good he can actually be when healthy. And that leads to my question. Is Kawhi Leonard right now, today, the best player in the world?
No, it's still Giannis.
No, it's Kawhi right now. I think Giannis within the next 18 months, like I said. But no, Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the world right now. Best two-way player in the world. He can guard anybody on the face of the earth. If he wants to shut you down, he will shut you down.
He did shut down Giannis.
And he's going to shut down whoever he's guarding for the Warriors, most likely. I mean, that could be big when Kevin Durant comes back. We don't know how healthy KD will be with that leg injury.
Is he coming back, though?
Yeah, he'll be back. If the Warriors go down 2-0, he'll be back for Game 3. I don't know if he'll be back. I don't know the plans for him to be back for Game 3. But if the Raptors win Game 2, there's no way Kevin Durant's not suiting up for Game 3. I would just be really shocked if he wasn't. But right now, I would say Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the world today. Right now. And, I mean, it doesn't – like, that's not saying he's going to be the best player next year. I mean – there was a time when the Celtics won the championship, you know, like 10 years ago, you know, the Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, Paul Pierce championship.
Right.
Anything's possible, you know, KG. Paul Pierce was the best player in the world for about 2 weeks. He was pretty much unstoppable during that. Then that championship. So, I mean, it's not unrealistic to think Kawhi is the best player in the world. I mean, I'm on the Giannis train as well. I think, you know, within 2 years, I say 18 months, he's going to be considered the best player in the world. Just because he's only like 24, so he's still young and he's getting better. So, and then moving on, we got Marc Gasol. Is he the X factor for the Raptors this series? Because he dropped 27-7, and I never thought I'd consider Marc Gasol an X factor just because he was phenomenal in his time in Memphis. But 27-7, I don't think anyone really. If he drops 27-7 every night, just 20 points probably, the Warriors are probably in trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole time leading up to the finals, it was like just Kawhi. It was Kawhi against everybody. But now when you look at it, it's like a team effort, and it's making Toronto very, very dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors played well, but like you said, Kawhi was carrying them a lot of ways because he was like unhuman in a lot of it. So he's basically what LeBron had done for a while for the playoffs. I can, you know, carry the team. Like,
right.
I think the Raptors have been fine. I think Pascal and Mark and Kyle Lowry, Norman Powell have all been just fine. But for the most part, yeah, Kawhi definitely put the team on its back in a lot of ways. But Marcus Gasol, he can spread the floor out. He can shoot threes. He's actually a lot better on defense than people give him credit for. He made all defense NBA teams a few times. So, I mean, he's a really good player, really smart. And the fact is, he's a true center, even though he can spread the floor out. The Warriors don't have a true center. I mean, they have Boogie. He's still injured.
I mean, he only played 8 minutes.
DeMarcus, he's just not the same DeMarcus Cousins right now. Just injuries. I kind of hope he gets back to where he was, but I don't think we're going to see complete healthy DeMarcus Cousins this series.
No.
But, I mean, then you got Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell, who are fine players for the Warriors system because they don't have to be much. But the fact is, they legit got to guard someone in Marc Gasol. And even Draymond, when Draymond's had to guard seven-footers, someone legit 7 foot that's a good center, he's kind of struggled in the past.
Yeah.
So that can neutralize Draymond Green's effectiveness on defense in a way if they were to try to go small ball when they bring Kevin Durant back and go to that Hampton 5 with Curry, Thompson, KD, Iguodala, and Draymond, and they have Draymond guarding the largest guy on the floor. That could really hurt them.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. Draymond is not who he used to be.
Yeah, and we're going to bring up Draymond a little later because he did actually – I mean, he didn't play bad last night. He had a triple-double, and we'll talk about it. But just the Warriors in general, they started off kind of slow. Do you view them as rusty, or is it more about what the Raptors did? Because the Warriors did have like 9 days off because they swept the Trailblazers. Was it more of a rust factor? Was it the Raptors winning, truly winning game one, or was it a combination of both?
I think it's what the Raptors done. I think they've been amazing.
I think a lot of the Raptors get a lot of credit. I do think it's a combination because here's like you can win. It's nice to get all that rest, but when you take 9 games off and you're just practicing, there's no way to simulate actual game speed, and you're going to get a little bit rusty. And sometimes we see this where a team that played a 6-7 game series may win game one over the team that swept a team just because they had a long layoff and they haven't been playing in a few days. So, I mean, I do think the Raptors won, though. It's nothing against them. I just think it definitely helps that the Warriors seem to be a little rusty. I know you said Curry had a quiet night, but I mean, I think he's easily the best player on the floor for the Warriors right now.
Absolutely.
He was 34-5-5. That's a really good stat line. He had a really good 34. But the real question here is, just side topic for Steph, does he need a Finals MVP to validate his career?
No.
Okay, I don't think so either, but that seems to be the one knock on him. You got anything, Producer Jared? Does he need a Finals MVP?
Not really. I mean, he's already the fan favorite, so he's going to go down in history. You don't need a MVP to solidify.
Yeah, he's won 2 regular season MVPs. He's been phenomenal just throughout his career. I mean, I don't think Steph Curry will end his career as maybe a top 10 basketball player of all time. But if you look at careers, I think he'll end up as maybe a top 10 career of all time.
So you don't think he'll finish in the top 10 of all time?
Not as a player, not in terms of overall talent. Overall talent, no. There's people that are much more talented. He's not even the most talented Warrior on the team. That's Kevin Durant. But the fact is, he might have a top 10 overall career. There's a difference between a top 10 overall talent, but a top 10 overall career. Maybe even top 5, just depending on how you look at it, because LeBron's easily a more talented player than Steph Curry. Michael Jordan's more talented. Kevin Durant's more talented. There's a few players that's probably more talented than Steph Curry. Like I said, LeBron is more talented, but I would argue that Steph's had a better career in terms of impact on the game of basketball.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's just because if you look at what he's done in his career from the three-point line, really, but he's not just a three-point shooter as well, but how he's changed the game as a three-point shooter has really impacted the NBA in a way that while LeBron has impacted the game and Jordan's, but I think Steph has impacted as much as Jordan did with, like, you know, you have the Jordan brand, the Jays.
Yeah.
You know, you see that. But I think Steph has really impacted the league in a way that LeBron maybe not so much. So,
I mean, LeBron's just going out there and playing basketball. Steph changed the way people play basketball.
Yeah, I mean, we see this. Like, I ref high school and junior high basketball, and I see kids pulling up from three and, you know, doing all these dribble moves and taking step backs, and you didn't see that in the game. So, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Right.
People were trying to be Steph Curry. And, I mean, you can see it with the number of threes taken per game. You know, Curry was the first person to ever make 300 threes in a game, and he made 402 that year. And now everyone's shooting threes. To let you know, the Spurs shot the fewest amount of threes per game this year at 24.8. If you go back to the year that Curry broke the record, the Warriors shot 31.8 threes per game, and the Spurs would have been 13th in the league that year. And then if you go back, you know, 2009-2010, Steph Curry's first year, the San Antonio Spurs, who shot 24.8, which is last this year, would have been third most threes in the league. So in a span of 10 years, the three-point shot has evolved just because of Curry and the Warriors, and I think, like I said, Steph has been at the forefront of that, and he's revolutionized the game of basketball. So I would love to see him get a Finals MVP if he wins, because I would think that's like, in my opinion, the only hole people have in his game so far, or his entire career. But I don't think he needs it. I think right now, if he were to retire, you would have to say he's a Hall of Famer.
What does Golden State have to do to get back on track?
Well, I think that starts with Klay Thompson. Maybe he only had 17. If you're going to have Steph and Klay without Kevin Durant, if KD's not healthy, which we don't know how healthy he's going to be when he returns, I think you need more from Klay than 17 points. I think that's one thing. I think Draymond has been fine in his role. I mean, like I said, I don't think Draymond's this superstar player, but Draymond has done his job. Right. He's done what he's supposed to be, but if the Warriors, who are unhealthy, by the way, because you got KD and Boogie hurt, and Iguodala's not healthy. He's not 100%. And this is kind of, maybe the roles have been reversed. You know, the tables have turned, the turntables. Yeah. You know, we have when the Warriors first won that championship against the Cavs were riddled with injuries. Then last year when they played the Rockets, Chris Paul was injured. And everybody said, oh, if the Rockets were healthy, they'd beat the Warriors.
That's not true.
But now the Warriors are injured, and, I mean, Steph and Klay's got to step up. And you have Steph, Klay, and Draymond. And Klay only had 17. I think that's my big thing. What do you have? What do you think, Savvy?
For them to get back on track, I think Klay, like you said, Klay's going to have to step up. He's going to have to do something better. And even though Draymond had a triple-double, he's still going to have to do more.
Yeah, he had a 10-10 and 10 triple-double. That's doing the bare minimum just to hit by, which it's fine. It also shows you, in some ways, how ridiculous it can be to count the triple-double stat because it's just an arbitrary number. But, I mean,
he's going to have to do more to help them win. Because, I mean, when everybody on the Raptors is pulling together and it's a team effort, then, you know, the Warriors are going to have to do
the same. I love watching the Raptors play because, you know, they're like the only team without like a top 14 pick on the roster.
Yes, I've seen that stat.
They're just basically been overlooked their entire career. Like Fred VanVleet was like undrafted. And he's like...
He's played lights out.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal last however many years he's been in the league. It feels like 10 years, but I think it's only like 3.
Right.
But was an undrafted free agent. He's like, he's the backup point guard, but he finishes the game on the court.
Right.
And they usually go to that small ball lineup with him leading the charge. And, I mean, he's been phenomenal. I mean, nothing about it. Like, and most of these players, like Siakam and Lowry, all these guys have somewhat been overlooked their entire career. And, you know, if they were to be the team that beats the Warriors, like finally, you know, takes down the Warriors here, that would probably be one of the biggest, like, obviously they're winning an NBA championship, but to say they beat the Warriors would just be extra, you know, just added value to a group of guys that have been overlooked, like you said.
And it doesn't hurt to have Danny Green on your team.
Yeah, Danny Green is apparently the most clutch shooter in NBA Finals history. The guy doesn't miss, it seems like. I don't know what he actually shot, but it feels like he was like 20 for 20. Let's see here.
He's Danny actually Green, 4 for 9.
Yeah, 4 for 9, 3 for 7 for 3-point line. That's 42.9%. That's really good. So, I mean, he's a phenomenal shooter. And he's, in the past, when he was with the Spurs, he gave Steph some trouble when he guarded Steph. So if he can guard Steph and Kawhi, if KD comes back, if Kawhi can shut down Kevin Durant, or maybe you put him on Klay Thompson if you want Pascal Siakam to try to guard KD. I mean, the Raptors have the defensive pieces to shut down the Warriors in a way, because even Marc Gasol, like I said, is a pretty good defensive player. He may not be the most athletic guy. He may not, you know, protect the rim as well as you want, but for the most part, Marc Gasol is a really smart defensive player.
Exactly.
So the Raptors have a lot of good pieces to match up with the Warriors really well.
I think a lot of people thought this was going to be an easy win for the Warriors, and I'll admit, I kind of thought that too. It's going to be hard.
I picked the Warriors, but I even told some people, I was like, this is one of the most exciting finals I've remembered pitching. I'm always excited for the NBA Finals because I love basketball, but I was really excited to see this matchup.
Yeah.
Because I think they match up well. I mean, we get to see what Kawhi can really do. And, you know, Kawhi can really prove that he was the main part of the Spurs. And another part of the whole Kawhi drama is, you remember last year when DeRozan got traded for Kawhi. It was like, oh, you can't trade a franchise guy like that. It's like, he means so much to the city. Well, this shows that it is a business, and the fact that getting Kawhi getting to the finals for the first time with the Raptors' first ever finals appearance with Kawhi.
Yeah.
Yes, it sucks that DeMar DeRozan got traded. He means a lot to Toronto. He'll always be welcome there. You know, the fans are going to love him. But it kind of shows that, hey, this is a business. You got to make the moves necessary. Like,
it was the right business.
The Raptors' window was closing, and yeah, it was a smart move. I mean, you can't blame a guy for making this move. Masai Ujiri, the president of the Toronto Raptors, you know, he made the right decision.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, you can't blame the guy for trading. I mean, it sucks at the time. Yes. It was actually a really good trade for both teams because DeMar DeRozan played really well for San Antonio. You got something, Bill?
So, what are the possibilities the Raptors sweep the Warriors?
Okay, we're going to make – you want to give a percentage out of 100%?
Is it even possible, period?
8%.
0.1%. 0.1%.
I just had to ask. I need to know where y'all minds were.
What do you think they can do it?
No, not at all. I just wanted to know we was all.
We're just here for the content. That's all that matters. Oh man, we probably should have said 100%.
Yeah.
Who cares if we're right? If somebody heard that, somebody might listen to us.
Cause some controversy.
Any publicity is good publicity. We should have done it. Yeah. We should have done it. Well, edit it out. The Raptors will 100% sweep the Warriors.
Yes.
Post that over it. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we'll get into that later. Because, you know, up next, we're actually going to review the rest of the series. We talked about game one, and we're going to make some predictions. So, what do you think we're going to see for the rest of the series? Okay, first off, what do we think for game two? What do we see for game two?
I think Toronto takes game two as well.
You got Toronto winning. I actually have the Warriors winning game two. When I made my prediction, I had the Raptors winning game one. The Warriors winning games 2, 3, and 4. Raptors winning game 5. And then the Warriors finishing it off game 6 at home. And that's how I see it. I see a 4-2, 6-game series. Warriors winning. And I have Steph Curry winning the MVP this year. I think he finally gets that finals MVP. I don't think it matters too much to his career. But I think, you know, it's that validation kind of deal. It's the last thing he really needs to achieve. And I still think the Warriors win 6. This one game doesn't change my opinion.
I have the Warriors winning in 7. So, you know, we're right there close to each other.
What did you have them winning in, though, before the game? You had them in, like, 5, 6?
Yeah, I did have them in 5.
So, I mean, obviously you changed your mind. I mean, the Raptors look good, and I think all these games are going to be really competitive, and that's what I hope for. I mean,
right.
I want a competitive series. I don't want to blow out every game.
So. I mean, the Cavaliers and Warriors finals that went on for 3 years was, in my opinion, ruining basketball because it was getting very uncompetitive.
Well, it's also not good to have the same two teams probably play every year. Mm-hmm. You can argue that having the Warriors there every year may not be good. I mean, you can also argue that it's good for basketball because now you got like kind of the bad guy, the antagonist for the NBA. Everybody's like, oh, who's going to beat the Warriors?
Right.
Like, you got people tweeting because we're all Raptors fans tonight. Kind of right. Do it just because some people are just fully against the Warriors. So, I mean, I would agree that the 3 straight years of Warriors-Cavs did get kind of tedious, it felt like. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, man, that's a little much.
But if the Raptors do win, I think the MVP should go to Drake.
Oh, yeah, Drake. What do you think about him so far?
I think it's a problem. I think the NBA needs to fix it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having courtside, you know, seats and being there and supporting your city. But when you get to the point where you're touching coaches and you're, you know, getting in verbal altercations with the players on the court, like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That needs to be stopped.
By the way, I said 3 years in a row. It was the Warriors Cavs played 4 years in a row.
Oh, 4.
Yeah, that's my fault. That's what I thought. I said it. Had to change it. But, yeah, Drake is – I mean, I like the fact that he's a fan. And, I mean, I'm all for fans getting into the game. But I did see something on Twitter that said, imagine if somebody went to a Drake concert and got on stage and acted like Drake did. Yeah. How would that go over, you know?
Probably get shot.
I mean, I like the fact that he's a fan. I don't have a problem with him getting into the game at all. But, you know, I guess it could get away. Like, some people could see it, you know, going overboard. I don't mind it.
They say he's a new Spike Lee.
I've seen that, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
And Spike Lee, I mean, you can argue Spike Lee was actually good for basketball, away for the Knicks. I mean, everybody remembers him and Reggie Miller's famous moments together.
But I don't think Drake is good for basketball. I don't think this is not doing anything positive. If anything, it's doing more negative.
I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, I can see where you're coming from. It definitely, I don't see anything super positive coming from it other than the fact that maybe he gets in the Warriors' head for the Raptors. I don't know. I mean, last night he wore the Del Curry Raptors jersey, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. He's just playing mind games. But like any good fan, like when we get invested into a team, we become a part of the team and we think what we do, you know.
I mean, it's just like high school. I mean, you see these high schools with student sections and they go crazy.
I think the main thing is that it's Drake and everybody knows his Drake. You know, it's not just some random, you know, person doing what he's doing. Because first off, if it was a random person doing what he's doing, he'd be asked to leave.
Yeah.
But
my main thing with this is the fact that he's, like, touching coaches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's the part that needs to be fixed.
I mean, it's the Raptors coach, and apparently Nick Nurse seems okay with it. So, I don't know. But like I said, you know, I think the value is the fact that it is Drake. So, I mean, I don't see anything, you know, super bad with it. I think it's just Drake. So, but going back to actually the finals, you said game two goes to the Raptors. Who wins? Who's the player of the game for game two? Who's going to have the biggest impact in game two?
I think it'd have to come to Kawhi because, you know, the Warriors, they're good at fixing their own problems. So, you know, the Warriors, they're going to come back stronger. And that means Kawhi is going to have to come back stronger.
Well, I got you. I think the Warriors win game two. So I actually have Steph winning, and I think he's going to score 30 again. I think he's going to continue the streak because it looks like Kevin Durant's not playing. For the most part, it looks like he's not playing game two. That's what I'm going to assume. So without him playing, I think Steph has got to make the biggest impact on the floor for the Warriors, and I have the Warriors winning game two with Steph winning the MVP. You want to make a prediction, Jared? You got a prediction for game two? Who wins?
That's really tough because I didn't really get to watch game one. I caught like the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left, so I really can't make a great prediction on this. But
we're gonna make you pick anyways. Just pick one.
I mean, I'm gonna go with the Warriors.
So we got two for the Warriors, just one for the Raptors. Safe. Do you have the Warriors winning the series?
Yeah, I got the Warriors winning. I think in all seriousness, I think the Raptors played their best game. And then the Warriors kind of, like, lulled a little bit.
And, yeah, I mean, I can see that. And like I said, you know, a long layoff can kind of lead to
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Like, so. They just kind of came back kind
of
lazy.
That's and, of course, if Kevin Durant comes back healthy.
Exactly.
That's a top two player in the NBA.
Exactly.
If you're adding to your team. If he's healthy, he's fine.
They're not even having the greatest moments. They're only losing by
15. But if you look at it, the stats say that the Warriors are better without KD.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but also, it's still Kevin Durant.
Yeah, those are just stats, you know.
I mean, they were still pretty good with Kevin Durant on the floor.
Yeah.
While, yes, I think that's like the second time they've lost in the last 30-something games without KD and Steph plays.
Yeah.
But their stats still look pretty good with
Kevin Durant. I mean, yeah, it's floor, still so. KD, but...
Yeah, their stats look pretty good with Kevin Durant.
So you think the Raptors played their best possible game?
Yeah, just about. Like, they played a lights-out game pretty much.
I can see, like, where you're coming from. I think, you know, if Kawhi just did... I know it's crazy because you ask for so much more from somebody who's doing so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you have to do that to win the series.
You've
like,
got to do that.
To win the finals, game. You're going to well, have to do
you
more.
You need a championship performance. Like, you see guys go superhuman to win this. Like, people have to do it to win.
Right.
Like, when LeBron and, you know, the Cavs won, and, well, even Kyrie, when the Cavs won that championship, they were playing out of their mind.
Exactly.
Like, that block that LeBron had on Andre Iguodala, like, it's mm-hmm. phenomenal because how did he get to that ball?
Exactly.
Does it make sense? I think Kyrie hit that insane three-point shot to win game 7.
Right.
And, of course, you got Ray Allen, who won it for the Heat, you know, back in the day.
Corner specialist, baby.
Corner specialist, yeah.
So the question
– was it for Ray Allen, the Spurs have 6 championships in their dynasty instead of 5.
Does the Raptors have the players to do those magical moments?
I mean, they got Kawhi. So. I think they got Kawhi.
I think they do.
I mean, Kawhi did it once already. I mean,
yeah.
Can he do it again?
I believe the first buzzer beater in Game 7 history to win the series.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, he's got it. And, I mean, obviously Kawhi does not seem to be bothered by anything because he has no emotions.
Exactly.
So, and I mean, if Pascal Siakam's going to play like he did, I mean, that could be big for the Raptors. I mean, he did miss 2 free throws in, you know, last series that could have won. The Raptors still won that game, but he did come up short once. I mean, maybe when the game gets tighter – I mean, what are some of these Raptors players going to do? Because, like you said, do the Raptors have enough? We know the Warriors have it because
oh, yeah.
they've won it before. They've won They're champion. They've won three now. They've been there. They've done that. That's the thing. It's like when you win one, it can be harder to get back. But once you're there, you know it doesn't affect you as much. That's the thing. When the game gets on the line, like down to the line, I'm assuming Kawhi is going to be able to handle it. Danny Green might be able to. But what are the other Raptors going to do when it's legit game seven? If it's game seven, hey, it's the NBA championship on the line. Like, are you going to rise up or are you gonna you know, sink? And that's kind of what we'll have to wait and see.
With Drake on their side, they can do anything.
Drake on their side. I mean, I guess it's God's plan for the Raptors.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Welcome to the dad joke part of the podcast. So, thank you. Oh, man. One quick question. Does DeMarcus Cousins belong on the floor right now? Is he a playable basketball player?
No. He's only playing for the look.
I don't think he belongs on the floor right now. And that bothers because I do think DeMarcus Cousins, when right, is one of the best players in the league. I mean, I don't blame the guy for trying to come back, you know, quicker from a quad tear.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look he's there. He looked winded at times. It's sad to see, but I mean, if he was right, that's a big deal for the Warriors, but I just don't think he belongs on the floor. Here's the thing. They've won without him.
You know, he's very injury prone.
They've won without Boogie. So, yeah. I mean, we know Boogie is an essential part of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it wasn't like they spent a ton. They used like the mid-level exception on him. So
he's just there for a ring. That's all. Free ride.
That's what most of these players. Jonas Jerebko, that's why he came to Golden State. He knew what he was doing. I mean, let's be honest. That's why Jonas Jerebko. That's why Sean Livingston hasn't left. It's like, I'm just going to keep getting these rings. Why did Andrew Bogut come back just for the Warriors? He knew what he was doing.
Livingston's a key player, though.
He is. I love Sean Livingston. If Sean Livingston wasn't on the Warriors, I would. Like, if you took Sean Livingston off the Warriors, yeah, I know that's not Steph or Clay. This goes for Fred VanVleet as well. If you took one of those two off the team, this team is entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
So, now I think Fred VanVleet has become more important for the Raptors than Livingston is for the Warriors because I think the Warriors have better depth. But,
yeah,
if you took one of those two guys off, it's definitely not the best. What changes do you think we're going to need to see from both teams? Not just the Warriors to win game two, but what changes do the Raptors need to do to continue their success?
Like I said, you know, you're going to need more from different players.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Lowry, he's going to have to do more. He's definitely going to have to do more than what he's doing. He's doing the bare minimum as a basketball player. He's got to do more.
We say that. He did. You know, he had 7 points, but he had 6 rebounds, 9 assists. He played the point guard role. I mean, he was on his plus minus, he's 11. He's plus 11 on the floor. Right. So he's playing decent defense, at least, like, and he's facilitating the ball. And that's kind of what you need from him right now. If Pascal Siakam's going to drop 32 a night and Marcus All is dropping 20, you don't need a whole lot from Kyle Lowry. But I don't think Pascal Siakam drops 32 a night, and I don't think Marcus All gives you 20 every night. I think Marcus All is more likely to give you 20 than Pascal is maybe 30.
Right.
So I do think Kyle needs to give you more than 7, but if he's going to give you 9 assists, 6 rebounds, I'm not going to complain too much. But, I mean, he shot 2 for 9, so you'd like to see that improve. But overall, I think we're in for a good series.
I'm excited.
Speaking of which,
mm-hmm.
Let's make our final predictions. And how many games? Who wins the series right now? And how many games? You've said the
Golden State in 7.
All right, Bill, come on.
Raptors in 4.
There we go. For the content.
You would be the only one who guesses it right.
That's one of those things, though. Like, if you're wrong, okay, yeah, it was wrong. But if you're right,
exactly,
you get a job by ESPN tomorrow.
Right. No, because game 2 isn't even played until like Tuesday. So, I mean, no, it's like Sunday. But then like game 3 probably will play until like Wednesday because they take like 4 days to play each game. So I don't know about tomorrow, Bill, but, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks from now, when the Raptors sweep the Warriors, oh, man, if that happens, I'll be proud. It'll be the most proud moment I've ever had of this podcast. But I'm going Warriors in 6 because there's no way the Raptors sweep the Warriors. And then, finally, who wins the Finals MVP?
Mm.
Does Kevin Durant come back in time to win it, to make even enough contention?
I don't know. I have to wait till like game 4 to really decide on that one.
I mean,
if the Warriors win it, it'd be Curry.
I think this could be the year Steph wins, just because if Kevin Durant doesn't come back till game 3, and if I was right and the Warriors win it 6, even if they play 7, that's only going to be, you know, four or five games for Durant. Curry could have six or seven games, and if he's scoring 25, 30 every night, it's going to be hard, and the Warriors win, it's going to be hard not to give it to Steph Curry. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Klay could have a good shot at it because I thought the Raptors would focus in on Curry, but Klay only dropped 17, so he's going to have to change that. I mean, it's only one game, though, so it's really hard to pick. Like I said, right now, if you ended it, you got to give it to Pascal Siakam. And if the Raptors were to sweep the Warriors, like Bill thinks they will, I don't think Pascal Siakam would win the Finals MVP. I believe that'd have a lot to do with Kawhi going superhuman.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, so I think it'll be a fun series. It's exciting to look forward to. I believe Game 2 is Sunday night. So, want to give a score prediction for Game 2? Let's finish up with score predictions.
That's impossible to say, really.
I mean, Raptors won Game 1, 118-109. So, we know we're not going to beat it right. Let's finish the show with score predictions for Game 2. I'll start. Warriors, 114. Raptors, 108.
I'm going to say Raptors, 112. Warriors, 109.
Okay, I'm going with the Raptors.
In four.
Raptors, 110. And then the Warriors, 101.
Okay, nice. Well, that'll end it for the show tonight. By the way, you can support the podcast now in the show notes if you want to donate any money to us to help us out, make the show keep going. Donate, man. Please help us. Anything you want to give.
Hey, we're broke college kids. You know what to do.
That is honestly the truth.
Support.
I'm trying to pay for grad school.
Support.
So if you want to support us, just do it, please. Anyways, that's all we got for Justin and producer Jarrett. Bill.
Peace out.
I'm Trent. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And Tim Beckham, you always have a seat at the podcast table. Thanks, guys.
Always.
Always, Tim Beckham.
And go Braves.
He had a home run the other night, too. I'm so proud.
Shout out Andrew McCutchen.
No. We're looking for a new producer. Start the music.
We don't like Philly.